just want to refer to one or two scriptures, and the first is in Matthew's Gospel, in chapter 8, halfway through, verse 26 of chapter 8. And he says to them, "Why are ye fearful, O ye of little faith?" Then, having arisen, he rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. But the men were astonished, saying, "What sort of man is this, that even the winds and the sea obey him?" Isaiah chapter 53, verse 3. "He is despised and left alone of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and like one from whom men hide their faces. Despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, and we did regard him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray, we have turned every one to his own way, and Jehovah hath laid upon him the iniquity of us all." And then in Philippians chapter 2, verse 9, "Wherefore also God highly exalted him, and granted him a name, that which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of heavenly and earthly and infernal beings, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to God the Father's glory." Just got a very simple exercise, and that is, I desire that you might meet Jesus. It's a good exercise to desire to meet Jesus. Think of one or two in Scripture who it's recorded they desired to see Jesus. One of them was Zacchaeus, and he desired to see Jesus, who he is. And the result was blessing came to his house. And then there was the woman who sat at Samaria's well, or rather came out to Jesus as he was sitting at Samaria's well. And she could say, "Come, see a man who told me all things ever I had done." She had met Jesus, and it completely changed her life. That's what meeting Jesus does. It doesn't matter whether you're young and old, or old. We each one needs to know what it's like to meet Jesus. It's, as I said, it results in wonderful blessing, because he is God's chosen man. And so the question is asked in this passage in Matthew where I read, what sort of man is this? What sort of man is Jesus? He's the one who desires your blessing. He's the one that can draw near to you in your time of need. But he's also the one whom God has sent here on earth. He's come as a bondman here on earth, and he's the one that God sets forth as a mercy seat. Am I giving you some understanding as to the sort of man that Jesus is? Very different from any man you'll meet here on earth. Although the Lord Jesus, in his grace and in his obedience to his Father, came here as man on earth, came here as a bondman to do God's holy will. How thankful we are for that stoop of the Lord Jesus to this earth. And so, again, I ask the question of you, what sort of man is this? And unless you've met him, you can't tell me. So that's the question to you. What sort of man is this? Have you met him? And can you say that he's your saviour? Meet him now as your saviour, and you'll never have to meet him as your judge. Because the time is going to come when God will judge the habitable world in righteousness by the man, this man, whom he's appointed. How thankful we are for this day of grace when God can set forth his love to you and to me through his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. It's only through God's goodness that we can have an understanding of his love towards you and towards me. To such an extent that the Lord Jesus himself would come here, tread that lonely pathway to Jerusalem to be mocked, scourged, buffeted, and hung upon a cross. You know, only the persons that were accused of robbery and murder and insurrection, those who had escaped justice, they were the sort of persons that were crucified. Common robbers, common thieves. But the Lord Jesus was here sin apart. He did none of those things. So much so that Pilate could say, that's Pilate, that's his judge. This man has done nothing amiss. And yet, the Lord Jesus was crucified. Delivered up by the determinate counsel of God for you, for me. Well, to continue that question, we need to look at that scripture that I read in Isaiah. He is despised and left alone of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. That's who Jesus is. That's as a result of sin. Became the man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. Think of the grief of the Lord Jesus Christ himself. When here upon earth, seeing the degradation of what sin had done, how sin had come in and spoiled all that God had created. We were reading in our meeting this afternoon as to the sinfulness of sin, the degradation that has entered into man's heart. And this is why he's described as the despised and left alone of men. And acquainted with grief, and like one from whom men hide their faces. So ashamed of men. So ashamed is the Lord of men, that they hide their faces from him. He's despised. They have no time for Jesus. Dear hearer, dear friend, have you time for Jesus? Him says, have you any room for Jesus? He who bore your weight of sin. So I ask you, have you any time for Jesus? He would make time for you. He desires that you should come to him and know him as your personal saviour. Says in Isaiah, I have called you by your name. Don't think that Jesus doesn't know who you are, because he does. And he's putting his claim for you. Are you going to come to him and acknowledge that he has a claim upon you? That you are his workmanship? That you are one who he has desired that you should come into this place of blessing? Yes, Satan has also put in his claim. God has put in his claim too. Who are you going to bow the knee to? Will it be Satan? Or will it be Jesus? If you bow the knee to Jesus, you'll get peace and assurance. You'll get joy in your heart. As we've said already, peace to the conscience. How wonderful it is. You know, peace is not known today. Very little peace in the world. No matter where you go, there's unrest. Why is that? Because man chose Barabbas. Away with this man, the man we've been talking about, away with Jesus, we will not have him to reign over us. What solemn words. You know, those words just echo down the decades of history. And we can see how solemn that cry was. Away with this man, we will not have it to reign over us. Well, let's turn to Philippians, because the story changes there. Think of what I've said so far as to the despised man, the man left alone, the one who has carried our griefs and borne our sorrows, the one who was hung upon a cross. It says what I read in Philippians, wherefore also God highly exalted him. That's the word coming from heaven itself. God has highly exalted him and given him a name that which is above every name. How wonderful, you know, that the name of Jesus is exalted. It's not exalted here on earth, but it is exalted in heaven. And it can be exalted in your heart. What a difference that makes when there are believers all over the world who have exalted Christ in their heart. It changes your perspective upon what goes on around us. Because you know, as having exalted Christ in your heart, that you can never bow down to the will of man, because Christ is enthroned. He is your Lord. He is the one you desire to serve. And striking scripture, I'm sure you know it well. But Peter could say, having been eyewitnesses of his majesty. That's 2 Peter 1 verse 16. Having been eyewitnesses of his majesty. Think of that. Peter, like ourselves, full of passions, sinful, denied the Lord Jesus, all the things that really make us hang our heads. Peter, having done all of those things, he was able to write like this. But having been eyewitnesses of his majesty. Oh, I desire, dear hearer, as I've asked you to come and meet Jesus, desire that you'll see him Not only as your Saviour, but I desire that you might see him in all his majesty and in all his glory. Well, that will cause, that will bring forth a response of praise from you, and that's what he wants. He doesn't want you to be here as sheep, as it were. He doesn't want you to be here dumb. He wants you to be here as those who sing his praises, who worship him, who are happy to speak about the great things that God has done for you. Reminded of the blind man who could relate to all that God had done for him. His heart was full. He met the Lord Jesus. He touched his eyes. He turned his blindness into sight. He was able to see Jesus, who he was. He was able to see him in all his glorious majesty. He was able to see him as his Saviour and Lord. Well, that's my message. Nothing else that I want to say other than just remember this message of the glad tidings is about one man, the Lord Jesus. The one who was despised here upon earth, but the one who has been exalted in heaven. May it just find an echo in your heart and a resting place, for his name's sake.
Amen. Amen.